All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday in the big city, and we're always happy to have you along for the ride. It's The Usual Suspects. Nick is here. I'm here. Barry's still out there in the blue yonders of the West. New Mexico, I believe, doing a little comedy, which means my man Cody Stoops is here for day two of the three-day extravaganza of Toots, Stoots, and me as we roll into a Thursday. Nick, I don't know what you did last night, but I do realize that Tommy Boy over here had softball, and we were both on a group, three people in a group text. Only two of us were chatting, and I kept going, where the hell is Stoots? Why is he not responding? Only to find out that my man was like, I'm softballing, I'm drinking. I'm like, well, excuse me. Let me just wait till you're done so that you might have time for us.
I can't pull out the phone on the field and just start texting you.
Well, you probably could.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what I do in between plays.
I was going to say, at catcher, I mean, you don't have to do much.
I play first base.
Oh, you're the backstop.
I play first base, and as I often tell my very critical team captain who like organized this thing, I make more plays than I miss. Now, did one hit me in the glove and just fall right out yesterday? It sure did. But did I stretch and get a couple of guys out that nobody else on the team could have made that play? Sure did. Might have pulled a hamstring, but that's okay.
Did you go down splitsy?
Oh, yeah. You got to get those. That last.
You Steve Pierced it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody kick you in the back of the Achilles?
No.
Okay.
No, they have the extra little
the
side.
Double base?
Yeah, the double base.
Okay.
You got to have the double base.
How'd we do?
Well, we won one game by forfeit because the other team no-showed.
So that doesn't count.
Okay.
All right.
And then we lost.
Okay. Was it a blowout?
No. 6-7.
Or 7-6 if you're in sports.
7-6, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, but beers were consumed by all. You sound like an amateur.
I don't know why I said 6-7.
Anchor on a TV station. Hey, the Astros lost 6-7. No,
they only scored
7-6
points.
Yeah. Points, not runs. Ooh, those points are hard to come by these days.
I'll tell you this: the extra hour that the other team did not have to get lubed up worked way against us. We had some guys that were well on their way to having a headache today, getting ready for that second game. Because we were supposed to play 7-9. 7 doesn't show up. And we think, okay, well, they're not going to show up for their 8 o'clock game, so we'll just play the 9 o'clock team at 8. Well, then they showed up for their 8 o'clock game. So the team looked around and said, we're going to need some more beer. And a couple guys went and got them some more beers. And we were like, oh, my goodness, we're not going to be in very good playing shape. And then we weren't. Yeah, that's enough of my softball, though.
No, it's not. It's always fun and entertaining. Nick, we love this kind of speak in our opening segment.
Absolutely.
We're breaking the ice.
Everything about your softball game.
Nick, let's not overdo it.
Yeah, I don't want to know anything
about
the softball game.
I appreciate
but no,
that.
I'm glad he shared.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why we try to reach out to the suspects and make a connection there, and we can connect with you at first base.
Exactly.
Okay, story of your life. Stuck at first base. What'd you do last night, Nick?
I did absolutely nothing. I watched a lot of basketball. I watched it back-to-back on ESPN and just ate and did nothing. Just sat on the couch and watched TV. So,
okay.
Watched a little NBA. Did you catch some of the NBA?
Yeah, you and I were tweeting back and forth a little bit in that Sixers game simply because I didn't realize Ben Simmons does not shoot outside of 6 feet. The stats they ran last night, he averages 2 shots a game by a distance of 5.9 feet. Other than that, everything he shoots is in the lane and around the basket.
That doesn't seem like that's the optimal setup for your point guard.
Also, though, kudos to the fact that when you can't shoot it from outside that range and yet you still average the points and get to the rack the way he does,
yeah,
pretty good. Then you look at Markelle Fultz and go, wow, what the? You could have had Jason Tatum. Boston actually traded down to get extra picks to get the guy they wanted overall that Danny Ainge said was the best player in the draft so that you could take Markelle Fultz, who I would have said I was injured based on the look of some of those jump shots. That is just UGLY.
But with the way they're splitting minutes, it looks like J.J. Redick might be the guy. If they can't come up with a guy to replace Markell, then it looks like, because look at their minutes. They're about the same. And Redick is coming off the bench. There's no doubt that Redick plays better with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So they're going to have to make a decision with that guy. Plus, he's 6'4", and he shoots like less than 60% from the free throw line. That's pretty bad. You can't be 6'4", and shoot 57% from the free throw line. That's terrible.
To your point on Redick, I'll give Chauncey Billups credit because he made a great point last night. He's like, the reason why JJ's not starting but getting more minutes, but Fools is still getting the minutes he's getting is they want someone to look at him and see enough potential to trade for him because they realize he is not a long-term part of this entire process, if you know what I'm saying.
They're hoping nobody else in the league realizes he's
god awful.
Fool's gold.
Oh, okay.
Dong.
Thank you. Because here's what I see. They are one of the three or four teams that has been publicly mentioned as being in the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes. You know they want him to be their centerpiece. Don't touch our big two. Don't touch Redick. And let's talk about what it would take to get Jimmy Butler, because they know they'd be much better off with a veteran presence like Butler than a young guy that looks like he's not going to develop in Fools.
And with Fools and Covington, they've got kind of that money that they could play around with and go get most guys that would be up for a trade. It's always fun to see, because the East is wide open, and they're one player away from a super team over there in Philly.
Right now, they've taken a step back. I would say if the East is open, but I'd say the two favorites are Boston and Toronto right now.
Sure,
Philly slipped back. Milwaukee's kind of up and coming. But, yeah, one big move by any one of those four teams could catapult you right to the top. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how big of players they are in any kind of trade game because they have the resources. Man, Robert Covington to me is just an unbelievable story. He was an undrafted free agent. He was playing in the D League for the Rockets, Vipers team. They brought him in the offseason, excuse me, a few years ago, and Harden was like 6'8 sniper. This dude's unreal. And in practice, I used to sit and watch the games, the scrimmaging, did not miss, had range from everywhere. And then when you put him in a game, he just kind of had stage fright, but you could tell he had the ability. But boy, he developed, and you know, Sam Hinkie wanted him, knew because he left the Rockets they had. And all of a sudden, he's catapulted to $15 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that pet peeve of yours of players on defense giving up on the play, he's not that guy. Like, on defense, he never gives up on the play. So he's not just an offensive presence. He's really a defensive presence for that team right now. And if he develops, he could be a really scary threat on that squad. But defensively, I haven't seen him give up on any of the plays in that game. Like, that guy wants to play defense. And I think that's a really cool story, especially because he's undrafted. Not like Beverly in terms of the personality, but, you know, that perseverance factor, the fact that he had to prove himself, and he did a lot of it on the defensive side. Man, it's huge.
Are there still Rocket fans that lament him not being here for some reason?
A lot of people bag on him. I know a lot of Rockets bloggers and fans that think that, you know, he was never going to develop anything because he couldn't shoot with the lights on and he let them down and everything like that. Dude, don't crap on a guy. Like you said, Nick, part of why he plays hard on both ends is because he's had to come from a place without getting the silver spoon treatment that a lot of draft picks have, and he's busted his ass and he's earned every contract that he's gotten, including the one he's got right now. And there's plenty of teams that could find a use for a guy like that. And part of the reason why Philly still plays decent defense is, yeah, you got Embiid, but you got guys like that that are going to play both ends and never quit on plays. That helps you a ton because you've seen with the Rockets early season woes on defense when you got guys that once their doors are blown off, they just stop. That digs you another hole.
Dude went to Tennessee State.
Yep.
Not Tennessee. Not like Middle Tennessee, where you've kind of heard of them.
Nope.
Tennessee State.
Was a Rocket, and they got him for free, and they let him walk. So, okay. Hey, we're just getting started. Rockets have a game tonight, so we can talk about that as well. But we got plenty on the docket for today, and if you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're here for you for that as well. HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can always reach us via Twitter, even after hours, when people want to talk about the poll that I won yesterday. It is at the producer, Nick. It is at Cody_Stutes. And, of course, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are going to ask you to fasten your seatbelts, and away we go. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back!
Usual Suspects, Thursday. Tomorrow, we're coming to you from Beaumont in Luke's Ice House. Calder is the road, avenue, street. Calder Road, I think it is. But I will be corrected on the text line because that's what people do around here. But we and the Blitz will be there tomorrow.
What are the other things that can be there? It's like road, avenue,
street,
drive,
lane, court.
It's avenue. Just checked it. Just so.
That's Calder. But Nick, that's not the point that it's avenue. Gosh.
Nick's big in the 409, though.
Massive.
So he needs to make sure.
You should run for mayor.
I should
he
not.
He could win. Nick, that you,
Mayor
let me tell you
Beaumont?
Something. If you want to just collect free money, be a politician. Because there's
you were
very
telling me about that yesterday.
Yes, there are very few that do a lot that are collecting a check that is pretty that is a lot. Let's put it that way.
I mean, I was a fan of who was it from the Suns? Was it Kevin Johnson?
Yep, he was the mayor of Sacramento.
Is he still the mayor of Sacramento?
Might still be.
Yeah, he's doing his thing in politics.
Yep.
There's a lot of former NBAers that are doing that.
And not just NBAers. NFL guys getting jobs. I mean, winning elections across in a lot of different races.
Anthony Gonzalez, the former Colts wide receiver.
Receiver, yep. Yeah, he won.
I was convinced he was going to be so good in the NFL.
He was going to be the next Wes Welker or better.
I also thought Matt Jones, the former Arkansas quarterback turned wide receiver drafted by the Jags, was going to be good too, though, so. What I know about first-round wide receivers.
Lance, by the way, stopped by in the break. He wants to know if you could join him to start breaking down some talent for next year's draft.
Hey, if I
After
like
that
them,
analysis, are you kidding me?
If I like them, they probably suck.
That's what I'm saying. Lance wants to make sure he gets all your thoughts on paper so that he knows exactly the opposite.
He's over here finding the landmines?
Yes.
Oh, he's like, man. One talent evaluator told me he loved this guy, but I don't see it.
So we had parent-teacher conferences last night, as well as I had another dog-on-dog episode. I get out of the show, and Lisa's already left me messages, and I'm like, what's up? I call her as soon as I get in the car, and she's like, it's never like, hey, we had a great day today. Taylor was wonderful at school. She's like, oh, can you meet me at the vet? Can I meet you at the vet? It's never a good way to start a conversation. I'm like, what's up? Oh, the two dogs got into it. Why'd they get into it? Well, I let one out. And the other one was caged up, and he was teasing it in the cage. So the minute that I opened the other cage door, they went at it. I'm like, oh, God. And all I'm thinking about is probably they're going to be okay. And more so than anything else, I'm just going to get another large vet bill.
Yeah, you're still going to get hit with the bill.
Oh, sure.
Oh, it's going to be massive.
So, indeed, we went to the vet, and two stitches.
I was just going to ask that next.
Yep, two stitches, and a few prescriptions later, we're at 100 and a quarter.
Oh,
yeah, it was just not. That's not a good way to start the evening.
And there's not like you can find a mechanic that can do your work on the side. That's not one of the
biggest
places.
No,
you can't find a discount vet. Like there's no. If you find
no,
discount,
and the thing is they want you know because Lisa, deal. We have so many dogs, obviously, and then Lisa like does so many things with the animal community and rescue groups and all the volunteer work she does. And they're like, hey, could we work out a deal where we'll save you like 15% if you want to start mentioning us on the air? And first she goes, I can't do that. I'm in news. I can't do that. But second of all, she told me about it. I was like, you cheap ass, 15%. If we're mentioning you on the freaking news
TV,
on TV, you better give us more like 50%. What the hell's wrong with you people?
15%.
15%. I got a coupon for that. I could do that same thing with the freaking paper that you get weekly.
That's the Groupon that you got online right now.
That was a nice swift kick in the Jimmy. And then
how about you don't let me pay for one of the two stitches?
And then Lisa was doing this whole volunteer rescue effort in Sugarland. So I go to the parent teacher conference and the teacher breaks it up. We love Taylor. She's doing great. We were thinking that for potty training, could you start putting her in underwear? I'm like, huh? She's like, yeah, you know, I think that, you know, she's doing good. She's progressing. She lets us know, but sometimes she doesn't. I go, I don't even know why just wearing underwear would help that process. I guess because the diapers give them the sense of security that they can just let it go.
Oh.
I was like, see, that's something that you can talk to her mom about. I'm all about staying out of that. I'm not getting into all that.
I am fascinated that that's a conversation the teacher has. Yeah.
Well, because
I didn't know that teachers had that conversation.
So because she's only three. So it's essentially it's like daycare, but they actually teach the kids. So they give the kids a lot of different. She comes with manners and she learns, a lot, you know, her shapes and, you know, fruits, just being able to name animals.
Yeah.
All that kind of, they're learning along the way. But she's like, I think, you know, if you can just get her potty trained completely, we're ready to move her up and advance her, because otherwise she's across the board just like outstanding. And I'm like, so you're telling me that getting this kid in drawers is the key to moving her up a grade? I mean, I know that in recruiting wars, there's a lot of things that you can work out a deal on the side with in order to advance your student and get them past tests and stuff. But wearing drawers and getting out of wetting the diaper, I just wasn't ready for that.
I don't know
that.
How you do it. You have some of the weirdest conversations at that daycare.
And how often have uncomfortable, you met, how often have you met this teacher?
Oh, I mean, I drop Taylor off every morning. Oh,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so I see him. When Lisa picks, so I drop her off, and then while I'm here, Lisa picks her up every day at school after school.
Uh-huh.
But by then, the teachers are gone, so she just gets the unruly teacher's aide that just wants you to get your kid and get out of her sight.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
So she doesn't get that kind of info. But I'm like, yeah, that's you, and you had that conversation with her mom, and you guys can work that out. Because all I know is Lisa's going to spend far too much time and money on, like, the greatest matching underwear and stuff that, because that's this. I laughed at her last night. Like, she's, you know, she has to go to bed so early, and she lays out all of Taylor's clothes, and she's looking at it from afar, and she's matched. And I go, "You're unreal." And she's like, "What do you mean?" I go, "You get such a kick out of, like, making sure she has the cutest little outfits and they match and everything like
that." She's gonna have applesauce on it by 7 a.m.
It's a distinct possibility. But my kid, by the way, is like the pickiest. Like, if her shirt is wet at all, it's got to go.
Oh, no.
Anything gets on it, it's got to go. And like, mid-meal, she's eating, and I turn my back for a second, and next thing you know, her shirt's off. I go, "Tay, where's your shirt?" "Got to go, Daddy. Had to go." I'm like, "What happened?" She goes, "Nope, it was wet. It was wet. Got to go." I'm like, "What?" And then Lisa, like, at night, we'll put her in the closet, and she picks out her pajamas. And if she doesn't get to pick, she'll do, like, a sit-in. She'll sit in the closet. She won't come out unless she gets to pick the clothes. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You're her mother. You slap some stuff on her tops and bottoms, and let's get this process started." She's like, "No." I'm like, "No, she doesn't get that much control in my household. That's not going to fly. We're not doing that." So, yeah, so I had double whammies last night and this morning with the parent teacher and the dogs. So we had some family issues.
Can I tell you a story about very tiny me that will probably not surprise you at all?
Okay.
So when I was in kindergarten,
yes.
End of the year comes, teacher's talking to my mom,
mm-hmm.
says, "Hey, you know, we think there's a good reason for Cody repeating kindergarten."
Ooh.
And I was like,
repeating it?
I hear this story many years later. So I hear my mom start the story, and I'm like, this is not going to go well. This is going to be terrible for me. Then the teacher goes, "But we think because Cody's such a big kid that we should advance him, and you should just hope he'll catch up. And then if not, he can just repeat first grade."
Come on, man.
And I'm finding all this out. Like, I'm in high school when I find this out. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to think back to my memories to think if I had the same teacher 2 years in a row. And I was like, okay, hold on. And then I remembered I had two different kindergarten teachers. And I was like, oh, God, I repeated kindergarten. I didn't even know it. But no, I was a big enough kid that I caught up mentally.
Okay.
They were physically scared to leave me with the next class coming in because I was so large, but they thought I was mentally behind the kids I was with, but that I'd catch up.
They're anticipating bullying is what they were anticipating. They thought you were going to go and be too physical with all the other little kids.
See, probably. But I was going to say, when I was growing up, we had dads that wanted that. Because their kids were going to excel in sports because of it.
Yeah.
And our arch rival school growing up, there's no doubt that several people that ended up being my friends later on in life, like, were held back a grade younger in their younger years so that they could be badass playing sports growing up.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't the case for you?
No.
Okay.
Just, I mean, straight up dumb kindergartner.
Don't you hate that too, Nick? Did you ever have that where your parents told you something after the fact, like from your younger years or something, and you cut and you're like, wow, that's not what I want to hear?
Yeah, I have a couple embarrassing stories that my mom has shared with me, but I'm not sharing it with you guys, but yeah.
Well, why not?
Well, no. this is a share time.
Yeah, it's an open book.
It's a safe space.
Come on.
No.
What do you get to lose?
It's not
a few text messages.
No, it's nothing really that interesting. If it was an interesting story, I would totally share.
I can tell you that I came home from football practice one day and my mom was at the kitchen table talking to my then girlfriend. And I casually just said, hey, what are you guys talking about? As I came in the house, and my mom just kind of went, oh, you were a mistake. Well, isn't that friendly? I go,
and she used that word, huh?
I go, what did you say? She goes, not a mistake, honey, because we always wanted a boy, and we thought we were too old and it was past our time to have kids. But yeah, you know, we hadn't done anything in years, and your dad and I had too much to drink one night, and boom, there you are. I'm like, guys, it's not like a Madden game. Boom, right there. No, and there I was.
They couldn't have used surprise. They dropped the steak on you.
And I walked back out of the house, and my mom couldn't understand why I was a little worried. I was like, what the hell was that?
Oh, I bet you were hot about that.
Yeah, I wasn't pleased. And not just family. You're dropping it on the chick at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's not going to be talked about in the hallways at school.
Was that supposed to be like a warning shot? Like, hey, it can happen at any time. Like,
yeah, I don't know what it was, but it sure didn't make me happy. Hopefully we're making you happy. We're just getting started. Plenty of sports to get to as well. It's the usual suspects on a Thursday. Just a little brief programming reminder for you. As always, 2:30 p.m., Sigmund Bloom will join us. He's the fantasy football expert upon all experts, and he's here to answer your questions for the upcoming week in fantasy football because we got a game tonight. Don't forget about that. You want to reach Sigmund, you can hit us up with the text messages, 713-780-3776. You can hit me with tweets, at PacManJoel with a K, and I will log all of those. But, you know, if you want to talk to him directly and call right before 2:30, hit up the phone lines at 713-780-3776. We'll put you in a stack and rack situation, and we'll get all those questions answered by Sigmund Bloom. That's the HRNP listener line, by the way, and we appreciate that, just like we appreciate you. Back with more. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects. Always fun if you're a suspect that you realize some people thought they were funny thanks to Barry. And started the Fart Sharara account so that when Cody fills in, we've got Toots, Stoots, and me. And then
why am I being Mike called Toots?
Because it's Fart Sharara, so you're Toots. It's a more kind of child safe word than fart.
I mean, I'm not the one causing all that funky smell. We're in the prep room before the show. I think that's you, sir.
Nick, I'm not afraid to crop dust if the
I eat perfectly.
I can crop dust in a heartbeat if the situation arises. But I try to only save that for Barry whenever possible because I know the reaction is going to be priceless. Oh, come on!
It basically sounds exactly like that.
God, and not to mention the germ issue. Like the one time he brought in, like, make your own salad, I think it was, or make your own lettuce wraps. And the lettuce... Yeah. This is coming up, too, because we're going to do the weight loss challenge again. Just a little FYI for you guys out there. Sneak preview. But we're going to do that again, so you guys be ready for that. But also be ready for the fact that in the process of doing such things, Barry takes it very, very seriously. And when he goes on his mission to lose weight, he brings in his own food. And Nick and I thought it would be funny one day if we hid his lettuce for the lettuce wraps. He was so pissed off because of the germ factor that he thought that we actually fondled his lettuce, that that he refused to eat it,
yeah,
and threw it away in front of us because he didn't think that it was going to be safe to be consumed.
Oh, my God.
We're like, even if we hid it, we left it in the Ziploc bag, zipped up, why would – we have enough respect and common decency for a colleague. We're not going to fondle the dude's lettuce.
Barry didn't care.
Nope, gone. Threw it out, and he was pissed the rest of the day.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I could see getting angry if somebody messed with your food, but, I mean, they took out the worst part of your lettuce wrap. Like, the filling is the best part. get rid of the lettuce. Eat everything else.
You should have smelled what that other stuff smelled like, because it was like highly healthy, wasn't it?
Oh. Yeah, it was the, what was it that he put? It was like, not the turkey taco? What was it?
I think it was like, I think it was like the ground turkey. I don't know, but it didn't smell great.
Turkey's not meant to be ground. Like, I'm not above eating ground turkey, and like, sometimes you cut the chili with a little ground turkey to go along with the ground beef, just to kind of take some of that, you know, heaviness out.
Right.
But just ground turkey by itself, like I don't know if that's what turkey was.
Well, he was on that weight loss.
I love turkey burger.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, and I can eat, to some regard, I could eat ground turkey like as a hamburger substitute. But like Lisa's got to the point, because Lisa's vegan. Lisa has the burger crumble, and I look at it and I'm like, what is that? She goes, it's like a black bean vegetable substitute for ground beef. And I'm like, but she makes burger crumble tacos. No joke, fellas. Ain't bad.
All right.
I can do that. But yeah, I'm not over the top vegan. But yeah, when Barry brings in that stuff, because you know Nora knows how to make that stuff. She spices that stuff up pretty good. But he brings it in and it's got a little smell to it. So
I'm not big on the lettuce wraps. Can't do it.
Why not? P.F. Chang's, Payway, you can get... I like lettuce wraps.
Barry didn't even look like he enjoyed it when he was having it. He looked like he was all mad eating it.
You ever see anybody happy eating a salad? Like,
a mad eater is never a good eater. You're right. Most people dieting are mad eaters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I just blend everything when I'm trying to lose weight.
You blend everything?
Yeah, you just everything's a smoothie.
Oh, Nick does too. Nick brings in some of the most alien-touched green slime juice.
I have like substances. A green smoothie that I make every day in the morning, and he likes to pick on me about it.
I don't pick on it. I just could never do it. I could never drink what he drinks. But yeah. The only thing I would pick on is the fact that instead of getting like a cup you can take with you with like a snap-on lid, Nick decides to take Saran wrap and put it over the top of a glass and then just jam the straw
dead
center.
Oh, God.
I look at that and I'm like...
Like those bubble teas?
So is that the redneck to-go cup? I mean...
Good gravy.
Yeah, like when you... what are those drinks that have those... What is it? Those black...
Yeah, the bubble teas.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got the little pearls of tapioca in the bottom.
Tapioca, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I make my own ghetto version of a tapioca.
I just look at it and I see the Saran wrap fastened to the top with a straw jammed right in the middle of the Saran wrap, and that's your makeshift redneck.
Everybody picks on me about it. Everybody's seen it.
So I used to work at the Smoothie Royalty place.
Smoothie Royalty?
They ain't getting no free plugs.
Oh, I got what you're saying. Yeah,
I used to work at the Smoothie Royalty place in high school.
And LeBron James' favorite?
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah, because LeBron James is the.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
I got
okay.
you. Yeah, we'll
I'm
play
with you.
Too.
Same
we'll
page.
Play.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there we go. The best part was to see these people who are clearly trying to lose weight, clearly on a diet, like just finishing going to the gym. They'd come in, they'd be like, oh, okay, smoothie. Like, this will be great. This will be a great little snack for me. And they're like, let me get a medium, which is 32 ounces. And they're like, let me get strawberry, banana, and then can I get a pump of grape juice too? And I'm just sitting there like, can I add an extra scoop of sugar for you? Like, what?
Yeah, like it destroys your entire workout.
What are you doing? Yeah. Like, smoothies, not always healthy.
Yeah, it depends on what you put in it, for sure. But, like, yeah, and that's why Lisa's a great sounding board for me. I'm like, am I good putting this and that? And because she's like, yeah, right away, she'll be like, yeah, you can't do, like, pineapple. I love pineapple. Nick knows that. But she said, like, pineapple is just straight sugar. It's just natural sugar.
Yeah.
So you
and if I'm thinking
that.
Of the same smoothie spot that you're referring to, those strawberries ain't fresh. If I'm thinking of the same spot, but I might be.
Oh
thinking,
no, they're
like canned and it has a lot of syrup and sugar around it.
They come in a tube in their own sugary water.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, they come in a tub.
I know
in their
exactly
own
what he's talking
water.
About. Yep.
Yeah, I do too. But at the same time, that surprises me because you would think because they charge like literally you could get two meals in a drive-through situation for the price of
a large
smoothie.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there's very few most smoothie joints. I'm not you know saying all, but most smoothie places very few fresh fruit in that spot.
Totally agree.
Now, very Nick, few. You make yours with fresh ingredients, right?
I do.
Is that fresh water?
How do you slime it up?
I have like one of those NutriBullets, those little NutriBullets. They call it a NutriBlast when you're finished with the drink, but it's basically spinach, some sort of berry, either strawberry, blackberry, blueberry, banana.
What you got against raspberries, man?
I don't like them.
I'll do raspberries too. I'll put some like ice, water, maybe a little chia seed.
I'm out.
That's about
really?
It.
Really?
Chia seed?
They don't really taste the chia seed. It comes out like green. I can't drink anything green like that. I can't drink it.
Yep. The moment the spinach got added, it's the only color it's going to
be. You can use kale. It's either spinach or kale for the green base. No, yeah.
See, every morning I have a smoothie, and it's protein powder, whey protein powder, fresh strawberries, blueberries, banana, and soy milk. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Cutting through all the sugary goop.
There's a professional team in town that I cover on a regular basis for Sports Map.
Houston Texans.
I don't think I'm doing trade secrets on this, but they're big into the smoothies.
Are they?
Yeah.
Rockets are always great about that. Whenever they're on the road trip and stuff, it's very cool. Like, they come down for shoot around, and before they get on the bus, they have, in whatever city they're in, they have pre-made smoothies, so the guys have something in their system.
So you've been around pro hoops. The way I just read about NBA players, they seem like the least up-to-speed eaters when they get to the league.
When they get to the league, you're probably correct. Dwight Howard had like this candy fetish and just ate the crappiest foods on the planet.
You gotta be careful you talk about Dwight's fetishes.
Yeah, you're probably right. But when they got to the Rockets and they realized, because they have a full-time nutritionist, and it's to the point where it's not just what they make them like in the player's kitchen, because they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they have a chef standing by to make whatever they want.
Right.
Plus, they have pre-made foods for them. But like, even on the planes, they took away all the candy and the popcorn and the potato chips and all the crap.
From what I hear, though, it's still unhealthy on the plane. It's not. It's better, but it's still kind of unhealthy.
I don't know how they do it now, but I know just a couple years ago when I was traveling with them and I was around them, that, yeah, they took away all of like the candy,
the junk,
and
basically
the crap, and you could get like, you know, you could eat to your heart's content if you wanted like real food, but even the snacks and everything were pretty much had to be healthier.
Because you see, because the perfect example for the Texans is Julion Davenport, just from last year to this year, just I'm not like staring at him, but just seeing the change, like the dude came back and was a brick wall.
Really?
Compared to what he was coming out of Bucknell. And it's like, okay, it's probably different coming out of Bucknell than, say, like Ohio State or
Alabama or Oklahoma.
Or Texas or Oklahoma, like those huge programs. But like, I always think about just reading about the NBA players. And ESPN did the big takeout about peanut butter jelly sandwiches a couple of years ago, about NBA players were obsessed with PB&Js. And it's like, to me, it's just NBA players are the eaters where you're like, oh, you could probably tighten that up a little bit. But they also run so much, so they can get away with it.
Oh, we had Travis Johnson on the one time, and he talked about the caloric intake like on any given day when they were on the road. It was ridiculous between what was supplied for them and the fact that they still had they were still hungry when they landed and got out of the sessions where they were supplied food, and they would still go out and get more food.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Nick, I think we were easily over 10,000 calories in a day when he was calculating.
When he was talking about it, yeah, especially before games. And a guy that big, you're going to need more calories, obviously, but he's so tall and so big.
Linemen are.
It's ridiculous.
Impressive eaters.
No question. I heard Steve McKinney was on with Lance and John the other day, too, and he was talking about, like, he could get out of practice, stop by a drive-thru, have three or four cheeseburgers, a quarter pounder with cheese fries, then get home and eat dinner. Yeah. And not gain a single pound. God love him for that. That would be a hell of a good deal.
Can you imagine just what's going on like in the digestive system? And like when they get out of football and they're trying to like cut back, they're drinking some of the Nick Slime smoothies, what their body feels like.
It's an adjustment. It's got to be a transition, dude. Like you can't eat the same. Like you can't just change the way you eat without feeling some sort of transition in your body.
But like, that's the thing. So we talked about it. First of all, when you talk about what's going on in their digestive system, you're talking long-term. Short-term, Travis also highlighted how that ended up being how he relieved himself in his uniform on the field or on the bench. And that was an interesting conversation we had on air one day. Like, the trainers putting towels around him so he could deuce. Or the fact that he just let it go.
So
hopefully he wasn't wearing the white pants when they let it go in there.
I'm so out.
Booger McFarland made fun of OBJ a week or two ago about going to the locker room to pee.
Should have
just let it fly. But the other thing is, when you're talking about, that's why when guys get out of football, they go one of two ways. They either blimp out or they completely get down to like marathon runner because they have to make changes.
That's what McKinney did.
Well, I know an ex-Oilers receiver that was really, really good that ended up going from his playing weight of probably about 180 to about 380 at a time. And then I also know an offensive lineman for the Packers that was fantastic that ended up running marathons and dropped like 200-some pounds. So, yeah, they go one of two ways when they get done playing. But, man, it's some of those results, when you look at it and you're like, that dude played wide receiver. Now he looks like he could play D-line.
It's not good.
Crazy. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got plenty to get to. Remember, Sigmund Bloom, 230, fantasy football question. Some of you guys are already rolling in with them, and I'm stacking and racking them so that we can get him on a rapid fire with those, as well as your calls. If you're going to call right before 230 is best, and we appreciate you. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about the Houston Rockets. They're playing tonight in Oklahoma City. They're going to be back home on Sunday. But before they get back home on Saturday, it's the 17th annual Rockets Run presented by Children's Memorial Hermann Hospital, and it is a great time. Believe me, I've been there, done that, and raced in it, and I'm telling you, it is something for the whole family. Everybody that signs up gets a ticket to a future Rockets game. You get a t-shirt. There's a post-race party with food and beverage, and there's much more. You can choose from the 5K fun run, the 2K walk, or a kids 1K event with Clutch the Bear and everybody there as well. The finish line, as always, is on center court, so you finish and get your time right as you run across center court where the Rockets play every home game. All you got to do for tickets to the game on Sunday or for registration for the Rockets Run is just hit up Rockets.com. Of course, Rockets.com, your one-stop shop for everything Houston Rockets. Check it out as they get ready to head home after this long road trip, and you can join that Rockets Run on Saturday as well.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Sigmund Bloom joins us at 2:30 for fantasy football. And, of course, we've got football to talk about tonight. We also have the Rockets tonight. Rockets looking for four in a row. Good start. Good streak going after a tough start for the Rockets. Again, this is another one, Nick, where front and center is not James Harden. It's not Chris Paul. It's everybody want to talk about Melo returning to the scene of the crime. His stint in OKC last year.
That's definitely the angle, just because he's going back to OKC. I saw Jonathan Fagan ask about that at the practice the other day. And I can see why they'll ask about it. But look, Russell Westbrook may be out. Eric Gordon is still questionable. We don't even know if he's going to play. I'm sure that's a game time decision.
Well, it's not the same. Like, it's not like they don't have problems either. It looks like Westbrook's not going to play for them.
Right.
So at least that evens out.
Yes, it seems very even.
Eric Gordon for Westbrook, you know, it's fair.
This is one of those, like,
but you were
voodoo
practice,
sacrifice,
Nick.
Things.
You know it's a pet peeve of mine. But the fact that they're still going to Melo for all of the how are you feeling and what are you doing, you know, how's it going to be for you? This and this. The story that they should be focused on is you've won three in a row now, so you're right in the ship. You got Bezdelic coming back, so you're going to get the D in line, hopefully. And you just got to keep stacking them to make up for lost time. But instead, we're talking about Melo and his feelings and going back to OKC and all that crap.
Got to get them clicks, man. Melo's the reason why. When who participated in media that practice? It was Ennis. It was Melo. And I believe it was one other. It was Coach D'Antoni. And Melo, it was probably 7 or 8 minutes before they let him go. Like, everybody had multiple questions for Melo. So it's a part of it is the media's fault. I mean, the reason why they're talking about Melo is because they want to speak with Melo and they want to ask questions to Melo. They want to get quotes from Melo. So a part of it is the media's fault, in my opinion. But it is kind of the story.
I agree with that. And, you know, look, like you just said, to get clicks, They're going to do the same thing. They know the most controversial topic right now because the defense is being solved with Bezdelic, because that was the big issue, one of the big issues. But the one that's going to get the most interest, the most clicks, is if, one, they get Carmelo Anthony and he can talk about his feelings, and then, two, if he says something that stirs it up even more, like, you know, I'm confused because I start one game, then I come off the bench in the other, and it's hard to get my mind around it and my mindset where it needs to be. And then, boom, Melo's not happy, and then, boom, everybody's clicking on it, and then you got a story. So
I mean, it's just the way it is. It's the way, and it's going to be like that for Melo for a while on this Rocket squad, especially if they start to do bad. I think they'll continue. But if he does well, I don't know if they'll spread the media attention evenly between the stars like Harden and Chris Paul. But for now, I think Melo's the story. I think he'll continue to be, at least for the first 15 or 20 games.
Utterly ridiculous. You've got the reigning MVP. You've got Chris Paul, and yet he's the story. That's why. $2.4 million, unless, and he hasn't played bad, but I will be so quick to pull the plug if that continues, because it's fine now, but if you get to midseason and he's still, it's all about him still, now I got a real issue.
Oh, I'm with you on that. This is one of those situations where I almost wonder if, I don't know if it's not something that needs to be said to somebody, but it's like, hey, we want to see more, not hear more. And I don't know that Melo's like, oh, let me talk to the media.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's the media going up to him, requesting him.
Oh, he's not exactly walking away from the mics either, though, fellas.
Oh, that's
but
true.
If he turned it down, it would be a bad look for him as well. Like if he said, no, I'm not talking to the media, it's going to be a bad look as well.
I'd be all for him telling the media to get lost. I'd be all for it. You know, I mean, if these football guys got it, I mean, I get they only play 16 games. So they're not. There's just less volume of games and things like that. But in theory, they're available 4 days a week. Not the players' off day, but they're available all the other days. But most football guys talk once a week, and then some of those guys are even like upset that they got to talk the once a week. And basketball players got to talk all the time, all the time. And
it's not like it's a tough deal,
though. Right. I'm with you. Just talk into the microphone.
We talk every day
questions.
Too. You know, God. You don't see us going, eh. I'm just not talking to
them. But they're getting peppered with questions, and sometimes it's controversial. And
sometimes it's they've made their own bed, so lie in it, too.
And sometimes they're stupid questions.
True.
That would be true, for sure. I'm guilty of all the dumb questions at the Rockets press conference. I'm responsible for all
you
the dumb questions.
You are not. You know exactly who is. There's that one dude.
Well, you know what they do. They'll ask, hey, your teammate said this, or your teammate, you know, made a mistake here. What are you going to do? You're going to start talking bad about your teammate? I mean, unless you don't like him, like Jimmy Butler doesn't like Carl Anthony Towns, maybe, but what are you going to say? You're not going to trash your teammate unless you hate him.
I mean, look, and that, I don't know if you guys saw that because I was late last night. Jimmy Butler went off after the game last night, exactly what you're talking about, Nick. But again, what I don't like is you either you go for it. If you're going to call someone out, then call them out by name and go right at them. Otherwise, don't say a word because you got to keep the locker room intact. But he did that kind of passive aggressive thing last night where he's like, did you see the game? He goes, you see what happened? You know, we gave them three chances on three offensive rebounds in the final minute of the game. We can't get a rebound. I mean, and it's not the first time this has happened. In the losses that we've had at the start of the season, it's almost always about rebounding, and we better start figuring it out about rebounding because the excuse about it being early in the season is getting old. That is like a flare and a full-blown fireworks display on the 4th of July that's putting out the letters CAT. K-A-T. Like, Carl Anthony Towns, you got your money, I didn't, and you can't rebound to save your ass. That's what that's saying.
When did Derrick Rose learn to shoot?
Dude, he's what a
unbelievable
great story. Talk about comeback player of the year early on. He had a 50-piece already this year, and what did he hit last night? He hit 7 threes?
Something like that, yeah.
My favorite part about it, he wants to be sixth man of the year. He's totally cool coming off the bench. You don't have an ego out of him. I mean, that's a good fit if you're Minnesota, especially considering all the locker room drama you have.
That's a good point. What a weird locker room.
If they unload Butler, he may be the guy that gets an even bigger role and really takes advantage of it. Because we forget, this guy was an MVP candidate until he just went through all kinds of crazy health issues with injuries. But talk about a guy resurrecting his career. And for all intents and purposes, everyone you talk to says he is a great dude. So you got to be happy for him.
Derrick Rose is, I mean, he's on, I mean, the resurgence here is nice here in the back end. It's maybe erasing it. But prior to this year, Derrick Rose was on track to be one of the greatest trivia questions ever. The only NBA player to win the MVP and not find himself in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Like, that's where he was headed. Because every other MVP is either a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, or like, yeah, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Except for Rose.
Now, he started last night. He was 7 of 9 from 3.
Mm.
31 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. I mean, a plus 11 in the box score. He was 11 of 17 from the floor in 37 minutes. And had a chance to hit the game winner at the end of the game for his 8-3 and hit the back of the iron long. But boy, talk about after the 50-piece. Being able to follow that up, if he would have hit the game winner and his 8-3 of the game, we'd be talking about nothing but Derrick Rose early on.
All that, and they still caught that L.
Yeah. And you know what? Jimmy's just got to go. Because it doesn't matter, good, bad, or indifferent. He's going to find a way to just tarnish everything.
Yep.
Now, welcome to the Rockets. All right, so we got one in the books. We got two to go. We got 2 hours left of the big show, so we can continue to take your calls. Remember, Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football at 2:30. And, of course, plenty more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, HRP listener line wide open for you, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour number 2 right around the corner. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.